That is the biggest game of the night. Dallas and Washington in their respective conferences, both trying to get in. Both need a win. I would say the loser, especially if it's a regulation loss, pretty good chance they're not going to make it, probably. So we'll talk all things at NHL. Adam Proto from the Hockey News joins us. Adam, out of that game, Dallas and Washington, which team do you think has the best chance to make the playoffs before the game starts?
Well, it's nice to be on with you guys. I think it's Dallas, to be honest, and I don't have anybody on that team. But you know, I think from the start of the year, I've really questioned the Capitals and their direction. I think George McPhee's had a pretty long run and seems to be chasing his tail in a lot of the same ways that Calgary did with Jerome McGinley. So, you know, I think the Stars under Jim Neal have a bright future ahead. They're adopting the Red Wings way in a lot of ways, and just in terms of their expectations being raised, no matter who's in the lineup, no matter, you know, who's healthy or you know, what trade has happened. I think there's a heightened standard, not to slight Joe Neuendijk, but it's just that pedigree from Detroit. So I picked the Stars, I think, to sneak in the playoffs at the start of the year, so I'm sticking with that one.
You look at Toronto. They haven't lost nine straight since 1985 when they picked first with Wendell Clark. They win tonight, and they would be tied with Columbus in points anyway. But, of course, Columbus has a few games in hand. This eight-game losing streak, has it pretty much ended any chance, you think, for the Leafs making the playoffs?
I think so, guys. I mean, you know, this is something that really wasn't the hallmark of Randy Carlyle since he got to Toronto. I think, you know, he had been pretty consistent about, you know, getting them to you know, stem the bleeding, you know, with, I think, maybe a maximum three- or four-game losing streak prior to this. So, unfortunately, I think this is going to be a comment on the overall core, and there's still a relatively young team that needs to grow, and I don't think you should blow up the whole thing and start from scratch necessarily. But, you know, I think there has to be a realization in Toronto that, again, you know, this idea that people aren't going to stand for seeing a loser or seeing a team that develops the right way. I don't know about you guys. I think Toronto fans are locked in with their money year in, year out, regardless. So if ever there was a market that could kind of sustain that slow rebuild, this is it. But, you know, from Brian Burke on out, I think there's that pressure, you know, not just from themselves, but from ownership, to be honest, to make the playoffs. And I think that's a bad way to start off for any franchise.
Randy Carlyle's obviously taken a lot of the blame for what's gone on there this year. But in your opinion, is it all Randy or what needs to change if they don't get in?
Yeah, no, I don't think it is all Randy, Brian, to be honest. I think, you know, they're not the deepest defense core in the league. I think Dion Phaneuf's a pretty solid defenseman all in all, but I don't know that he's a that kind of anchor guy that you can throw over the boards like you could with Nicholas Lidstrom. I think that's the key for me in talking to people about this team, is there's no kind of grounded center, right? It's, you know, there's still questions about Phil Kessel, even though, you know, he did grow, I think, as a player in last year's playoff. I think people in leagues that I talk to still have that question about when the games get tougher and when you have to fight, you know, to get the puck back or just to fight for space. I don't know that Phil Kessel is going to be a dominant guy out there for you. So that doesn't mean you can't win with him. Doesn't mean they should trade him. But I think they really have to, again, kind of look and see, you know, who are we going to compete with in the next 5 years, almost like the Western teams do, right? How are you going to maintain pace with the Blackhawks or the Blues? I think in Toronto's case, it's probably the Bruins, maybe to a little bit lesser degree, the Penguins this year. But even Detroit, I mean, Detroit, again, has that expectation. And they find ways to produce guys like, you know, Gus Nyquist. I think that until the Leafs do something, you know, at the organizational level, then, you know, you can pick apart a coach or you can pick apart a trade. But I think the issues run deeper than that.
Adam Proto joins us. You talked about Dion Phaneuf, and you know, he's a good defenseman. He's not a great defenseman, but he's still very good. You know, he can help teams win, I think. But in Toronto, like, people are now talking about, oh, should he not be the captain? Like, are they looking at things that really aren't the problem for the team, or do you think Phaneuf as a leader is a problem?
No, I think you're absolutely right. That's my first inclination, Jason, is to say that, you know, you're looking too deep, I think, to be honest. And you know, the more I talk to people over the years, whether it's, you know, Denny Potvin or whoever around the league in terms of captaincy, it's not just about one guy. It's who you surround them with. It's the makeup of a room. You know, Jonathan Toews isn't just a great captain or one of the best players in the league, if not the best, because of Jonathan Toews. It's because he's got Patrick Sharp and Marian Hossa and guys around him who who accept responsibility and who do the little things like, you know, make sure the new guys get the cup first after they win. That's, you know, sounds, I guess, like not very much, but I think it is the little, you know, pieces of attention to detail. And I don't know that anybody's got proof that Dion Phaneuf, you know, behind the scenes isn't that guy. I think he's much more boisterous when the media isn't around. We saw that on the 24/7 road, the HBO show. You know, so I don't know that we can necessarily, again, place it all on Dion as a person, as a player. You know, I think if he were playing on a team that had, you know, two more rock solid defensemen in their own zone, or a team that, you know, is much better at penalty killing, inexplicably really from last year to this year, how they've dropped off. You know, I think, you know, not nearly as many people would be trying to pull Lucy off his chest and tar and feather him and kick him out of town.
Adam, looking at some of the other teams, the New York Rangers and the Philadelphia Flyers both had slow starts. Philadelphia has really picked up. Claude Giroux, he might be a finalist. He won't win. I think Crosby wins, but Giroux might be a finalist for the Hart Trophy and what he's done after a slow start 15 games in. Which one of those two teams do you think has a better chance to have a long run in the playoffs, and why?
Of the Rangers and Philly, well, I think, guys, for me, it's the Rangers, and only because, you know, I think Henrik Lundqvist, even though he still does have something to prove as an NHL playoff goalie, you know, I think he is, you know, at least more dependable than Steve Mason, who, you know, with due respect, has four games of playoff experience from, you know, 2009, I believe, and if you looked at his numbers back then, I think you had a 4.26 goals against and a, you know, 8-something GA or save percentage. So I think he, you know, obviously was on a different team and will get a little bit more support this time around. But the questions are going to be the same for Philly almost year in and year out. And I think at least with the Rangers, they've got, you know, a more veteran team with Marty St. Louis now, a team that may know how to win a little bit more than some of the younger guys in Philly. So to be honest, I don't think either team will go that far in the grand scheme of things. I do think all roads go through Boston in the East, and then maybe after that, you know, Pittsburgh, Montreal, Tampa Bay. I just don't like that Metro division for the most part, and I think the Flyers and the Rangers are similar, as I wrote in a lot of ways, guys, in that they, you know, they change their roster a lot, and you know, and never really have a lot to show for it. And I wonder about continuity. I wonder about the long term strength. You know, if you're going to trade guys left and right or sign guys every year, you know. So when I look at both those teams, I think they suffer from that same kind of big market-itis.
Mike Babcock or Patrick Waugh, who would be your coach of the year?
Patrick Waugh. You know, I can't believe, guys, we're still talking about Mike Babcock as a non-winner. Maybe they should rename the award after him, you know, especially this year. But, you know, you look at Patrick Waugh and, you know, what were they dead last year? And you know, they're an incredibly different team. He's, you know, he's brought a level of confidence to them and you know, stretched out, I think, a defense core that isn't necessarily the strongest in the league. Found a way to make that work. Sure, he's got a lot of, you know, enviable young talent up front, but you know, that was the same team that Joe Sacco almost, you know, identically couldn't find a way to make work. So I think for me, it's Patrick Waugh, but you know, sooner or later they got to give it to Mike Babcock. It's embarrassing after a while.
Yeah, it's, you know what, for many years, I think Sather only ever won it once when they went on that stretch of 7 years, because, you know, I think sometimes your success, people look and say, well, you've got good players. And I do find at times it's hard to evaluate how much, you know, a coach truly impacts a team when ultimately the players still play the game.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's amazing how a coach gets smarter when he's got a hot goaltender or, you know, one of the league's best goalies, guys. So to me, it's you know, you're right. And again, I think you can make, you know, good cases for a lot of coaches. I mean, Bruce Boudreau, did anybody think the Ducks would be this good? You know, I think he's made a pretty good case for himself that he wasn't the issue in Washington, and maybe the issues in Washington run deeper. But, you know, Claude Julien, again, you know, he's going to be on a team that I don't think gets a lot of respect either. Chara didn't come close to the Norris last year. I think he should. I think Shea Weber should. But there's so much, you know, relatively equal talent at the very top now that, you know, just by choosing three or having to choose three as we have to do, or five in a lot of these cases for the writers and choosing the awards, you know, it's not necessarily a slight against the other guys that aren't chosen. It's just a measure of the depth of skill and, you know, combination of, I guess, parity to be sure.
Adam, do you see any coaches or GMs getting the axe right after the season?
Well, I think Randy Carlyle, to be honest. I mean, I think, you know, if this streak keeps going, I think they're going to be in big trouble you know, the only other team I could see perhaps making moves is the Islanders, if that ownership change ever comes to pass. But other than that, I think, you know, most teams are, you know, are in relatively set mode. I don't think the Oilers are doing anything with Dallas Eakins, even though there's complainers and moaners. Maybe Barry Trotz, you know, that's another one, and he's had an incredible run too. And you know, Tortorella, I think, was a huge mistake from the beginning in Vancouver. So, you know, maybe now that I talk about it, maybe more than a few, but it's almost the price you have to pay now, right? The expectations are so high in all these markets that the carousel seems to turn faster every season.
Adam, always good to catch up with you. Talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.